Mikdash area in southern occupied Palestine. The operation successfully achieved its objectives, thanks be to Allah. Free and independent Yemen affirms that the only option for our Arab and Islamic nation in the face of this enemy, which is attacking Arab and Islamic countries and committing massacres and genocide against our people in Gaza, is to confront, stand firm, and provide all necessary support to the oppressed Palestinian people and their noble and honorable resistance. We will continue to fulfill our religious, moral, and humanitarian duties until the aggression against Gaza stops and the siege is lifted.
While the Israeli genocide in Gaza is taking Palestinian lives by the hour, with the regime focusing its deadly strikes on Gaza City. Medical sources say Israel has killed at least 25 people on Monday so far, almost all of them in Gaza City. One of the latest attacks has hit Nusayrat refugee camp, killing at least one person and injuring several others. This is amid bombing of the Shifa and Hillo hospitals in the city. The former was hosting a 12 newborns at the time of the strike. Gaza's health ministry says contact with a hospital and its staff is lost and that their situation is unknown. Meanwhile, Israeli forces killed two more Palestinians as troopers opened fire on civilians waiting in line to get aid in the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis. Gaza is also reeling from a regime-imposed famine. It has killed hundreds, including a newborn and a 13-year-old boy, who died from hunger on Sunday. Israel has so far killed over 66,000 Palestinians in Gaza since October 2023. The Hamas resistance movement says it has not received any new proposal from mediators Qatar and Egypt regarding a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. Senior Hamas official Hisham Badran said the group is open to all ideas and proposals to stop the genocide in Gaza without compromising its demands and national principles. His remarks came after U.S. President Donald Trump expressed optimism that a deal is near to end the war in Gaza. Badran said this is not the first time the American side has spoken about numerous initiatives and ideas, but it takes time before those initiatives are offered to Hamas through mediators. He stressed that the movement has not received any proposals related to the remarks that are being currently circulated by Trump or others. Badran said Hamas's demands are national and are made in full consultation with the Palestinian factions. He stressed that Hamas is keen to stop the war, but Israel uses the resistance's weapons as pretext to continue its war of extermination in Gaza. Well, Spain has decided to join the Hague Group, which seeks to impose new sanctions on Israel in order to stop the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip. The Spanish government's decision was announced on the sidelines of the 80th UN General Assembly meeting. The Hague Group is a 34-nation coalition whose goal is to mount pressure on Israel and end its impunity for atrocities committed in Gaza. It also means to uphold the rulings of the International Court of Justice and the International Criminal Court in relation to Israel's aggression against Palestinians. The group's agenda includes a wide range of measures, such as banning the export of dual-use equipment to Israel, prohibiting military shipments through member states' ports, and terminating public contracts with institutions that support the occupation. It also intends to enforce oil sanctions and other punitive measures against the Tel Aviv regime. We earlier discussed this issue with political commentator Robert Inlakish. He said Spain's move is a major blow to Israel on public relations level, but it is not enough to stop the genocide in Gaza.
Well, Spain has shown itself to actually be one of those governments in Europe that has decided to take a moral stance. It has taken some time, we may note, but Spain, of course, has canceled three different weapon sales. It has broken off ties in many ways, but still it has relations with the Israelis. It still maintains relations, which is a surprise when you consider that they're openly accusing the Israelis at this point of genocide, and they have joined on to the Hague Group. And despite these efforts, attempting to hold the Israelis accountable and uphold international law, they fall short of being capable of actually stopping the Israelis from committing their genocide. In terms of what it does on a, let's say, a public relations level, this is a major blow to the Israelis on a public relations level, and it is another dent as well put on the regime. So there is an effect, there is an impact that this does have, despite there being elements that are symbolic, of course. Is it enough? Evidently not. The genocide is still going on and escalating, but is it making a difference? Yes. Ultimately, in the overarching scheme of things, yes, it does make an impact and a difference, especially to Israelis themselves.
And now to the occupied West Bank, where the Israeli military has carried out a mass detention campaign, abducting 7 Palestinians, including a child, and shutting down a UN-run clinic in the El Jalzoun refugee camp north of Ramallah. For more details on this, we are now joined by our correspondent, Naka Hamid. Naka, again, this is not the first time that the Israelis and the settlers have carried out such detentions. What details do you have for us there on the ground?
Yes, Caitlin, well, since the hours of last night, the Israeli forces have been raiding Al Jalzoun refugee camp to the north of occupied Ramallah. And until these moments, they are still in Al Jalzoun and in its surrounding, arresting Palestinians and making a full movement ban towards that area. This is a very viable area for the entire north of Ramallah city, where Palestinians usually come to Ramallah from that road. And the Israeli forces have closed it since the hours of the morning. Inside Al Jalzoun refugee camp, the actual raids are going on, as we have talked to local resources from inside the refugee camp, stating that Israeli forces have been going through the homes of Al Jalzoun refugee camp, door to door and home to home, ransacking homes and searching for unidentified objects, maybe, but they are searching every home and taking the youth, the Palestinian youth, towards a field interrogation center that they have made inside Al Jalzoun refugee camp. Until now, we are talking about tens of arrests from inside Al Jalzoun refugee camp, but they remain inside. They remain inside it. They have not been taken away to detention camps or to military bases as usual. And this may indicate that they will be released in the coming hours. Of course, while raiding Al Jalzoun refugee camps, confrontations happened between the Palestinians and these raiding IOF forces. Al Jalzoun was not the only refugee camp under fire in the last couple of hours. Also, Al Amari refugee camp in Ramallah city, and also Al Arub refugee camp to the north of occupied Al Khalil, have been under systematic attack. This is not a new thing, unfortunately, that we are saying this, but this is not a new thing to these refugee camps to be under such aggression. Well, on other places, the Israeli forces also made incursions towards Tul Kerem and Jenin this night, attacking Palestinians in the area of the Neve and in the surrounding areas of Nur Shams and Tul Kerem refugee camps, and of course Jenin refugee camp. The situation has not settled down over there, even after almost 300 days of military aggression upon those two cities. The Palestinians, the Palestinian resistance seems over there is still trying to make hits towards the Israeli forces.
And exactly, Naka. Well, on that point, I'd like to thank you, as always, Naka Hamad, there, of course, Juan Jones from Ramallah, for those details on the latest situation from the occupied West Bank. Iran's president says the Islamic Republic will never give in to dictates of the world bullies and those countries that violate the agreements they have signed. Masoud Pezeshkian was addressing a cabinet meeting after the U.S. and 3 European parties to the 2015 nuclear agreement illegally reactivated annulled UN Security Council sanctions resolutions against Tehran. He said the government has made appropriate plans to deal with any possible condition, with people's livelihood taking the center stage. Pezeshkian noted that Iran made every effort to come up with a just and logical solution to the nuclear issue through negotiations, but that the opposite sides intended to deprive the country of all of its assets. He referred to a religious decree issued by leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, who has prohibited the production of nuclear weapons. Pezeshkian said Iran has never pursued development of nuclear weapons and has always been ready for fair and logical talks based on a well-defined criteria. However, he added Iran will never engage in negotiations that would cause new problems for the country. Iran's foreign minister has once again categorically rejected the illegal move taken by the U.S. and three European countries to reimpose annulled U.N. sanctions on the country. Abbas Araghchi made the remark in a letter to his counterparts around the world. Araghchi said the attempt by the U.S. and the E3 to reinstate sanctions previously lifted under U.N. Security Council Resolution 2231 is unfounded, unlawful, and invalid. He said Resolution 2231, which endorsed the 2015 nuclear deal, established mutual commitments and reciprocal assurances as the foundation of the agreement. Araghchi stressed that the U.S.'s withdrawal from the agreement and the E3's failure to fulfill their commitments have deprived them of any eligibility to invoke Resolution 2231 for any purpose. He stressed that neither Iran nor any UN member is under any legal obligation to comply with such unlawful measures because their recognition or implementation amounts to violation of international law. Araghchi noted that Iran will continue to defend its sovereign rights and legitimate interests firmly while remaining open to genuine negotiations on an equal footing. Now crossing over to Pakistan, whose capital Islamabad has witnessed a massive protest on Sunday as demonstrators rallied against the United States and the Israeli regime over the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Our correspondent Nasser Kazmi brings us more in this report.
Anger in the streets against the U.S. and Israel. Protesters in Islamabad burned American and Israeli flags to record their outrage against the ongoing genocide of Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip and the U.S. complicity in Israeli crimes.
The United States is hand in hand for the massacre and genocide, Israeli genocide in Gaza. The United States has provided not only financial aid, but all the F-16s and all the weapons which are being used to exterminate Palestinians in Gaza.
Demonstrators held the U.S. and its European allies responsible for the killing of tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians by supplying weapons that fueled the bloodshed and for shielding Israel from international accountability.
America, which claims to be a champion of human rights, why does it turn a blind eye to Gaza? Men, women, and children are being slaughtered every day with U.S. weapons in the hands of Israel.
Protesters highlighted the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, where men, women, and children remain trapped under the siege with no access to food, medicine, or shelter.
Women are being killed by Israel, children are being killed by Israel, but no one is there to speak for them. We all know that Israel is international terrorist.
Israel is an occupying regime and fomenting terrorism. It bombs schools, hospitals, and refugee camps. Any country that supports such brutality is supporting terrorism itself.
Many called for boycotting American and Israeli products, saying economic resistance was their way to support Palestine.
As Israeli attacks continue in Gaza, protests are spreading worldwide with calls for an end to the genocide and urgent aid for millions trapped under siege. Nasser Kazmi, Islamabad.
Well, thank you very much for this hour's headlines. More updates, as always, please stay tuned to World News. Goodbye for now.
Silence and man was burning and keeping the light alive. A bone in his throat, a thorn in his eye. In silence and man was burning.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program. Today is a special. Today's topic is oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today is Monday, that is the 6th of Rabiul Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Mehr, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of September, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Alright, let's beautify ourselves and let's have the beautiful aroma of the ayahs of the Holy Quran in our ears and our mouth by reciting what ayah? Yes, Brother Mahmoud has selected a beautiful ayah, ayah 88 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Let's listen to the Arabic recitation of this ayah along with the English translation, and then we'll continue our discussion. I am Atta, the host of this program you're listening to today. It's special.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ.
And eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good. And fear Allah, in whom you are believers.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
All right, welcome back to today's special. What you listened to was Ayah 88 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, along with the English translation. Your faith to Allah requires that you respect all His commandments, both in enjoining the merits of Allah and observing moderation and piety. That's why the Holy Prophet of Allah, in the beautiful hadith, said, it is obligatory for every Muslim believer, man or woman, Muslim or Muslima, to gain lawful things. Again, the Holy Prophet of Islam, in another tradition or hadith, said, worship consists of 70 parts, the best of which is seeking the lawful material. By lawful here, we mean halal. Okay, halal here is very much different from the halal brand and sustenance, but it encompasses two: halal income, halal sustenance, halal money, halal mouthful. Also, the Holy Prophet of Islam said, seeking for lawful sustenance, that is, rizq al-halal, is the same as holy struggle in the way of Allah or jihad. Wow, wow, wow. Really, really difficult responsibility for the men of the family and a society, because they are main providers of the bread for the family. Try to have lawful sustenance for your family. Taking a break, and then we'll continue our discussion with today's tip: oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
All right, welcome back to today's special with me, Ata, the host of this program. For today's practical tip, we'll get to oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives. The Islamic emphasis on cleanliness is particularly evident in its focus on oral hygiene, the practice of keeping the mouth clean and healthy. The mouth has both a physical and a spiritual significance. Wow, you might ask yourself, how mouth have a spiritual significance? Without a physically healthy mouth, it is difficult for us to eat, drink, smile, laugh, or to show certain emotions based on facial expressions. Without a healthy mouth, we are unable to enunciate our speech properly. If the mouth is not clean and healthy, we can develop serious illnesses in the rest of the body that can affect our quality of life. Recent research points to a connection between gum disease and the inflammation accompanying heart attacks, strokes, and other vascular events. The research also shows that the oral bacteria appear in the fatty deposits of patients with atherosclerosis, a disease of the arteries. A stage that sits inside arterial walls, thus narrowing the arteries. Wow, the connection between mouth and narrowing the arteries. This is really interesting. Thank you, Brother Mahmoud, for introducing such a topic to us and such practical tips. Stay with us, and then we'll get to the spiritual aspects of oral hygiene.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition. Today we are going to talk about oral health. That is, the scientific findings and Islamic perspectives on oral health specifically. The connection between oral health and serious illness is now well documented. Researchers have discovered that certain oral bacteria, for example, Peripheromonas gingivalis, appear in the brains of people who died with Alzheimer's disease. These bacteria produce substances that are found in the hippocampus, a part of the brain that helps with memory. In mice, they tested what happens when teeth become diseased. They observed that the brain developed more inflammation, damaged cells, and beta amyloid plaques. These are typical characteristics of Alzheimer's. Oral bacteria can also cause problems with the heart. They sometimes travel into the blood vessels and build a type of protective layer, which is like a thin blanket. This blanket keeps medications and the body's defenses at bay. The bacteria then cause trouble by initiating inflammation. This inflammation causes bad cholesterol to deposit on the walls of blood vessels. This can make vessels hard and narrow, which is called atherosclerosis.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Welcome back. Now it's time for the spiritual aspects of oral hygiene. Wow. The first question comes to my mind. What's the link between mouth and spiritual development? A healthy, clean mouth is an important aspect of worship because of the ibadah that takes place using it. That is, without mouth, without saying the words, we are not able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah said, "Freshen your mouth with the toothpick. Verily, the mouths are the pathway of the Quran." beautiful. The pathway should be protected so that we can use it to recite Allah's words with tajweed, which is defined as pronouncing the Quran in the best way by giving each letter its rights. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That's it. With toothpick, with a clean mouth, if you say it, it's a pathway to heaven. A meticulous pronunciation of the letters of the Quran cannot occur when the reciter's mouth hurts or his teeth are missing. In the same way that we should maintain the places of prostration or masjid and keep them clean, we should also maintain the places of articulation and keep them clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank you for the mouth, for the good teeth, for the healthy mouth that you give us to worship you through our words. Stay tuned, then we got two tips to boast your oral hygiene routine. Now it's the time for tips to boost your oral hygiene routine. Switch to a soft bristled brush. Wow. You likely already know you should change your toothbrush every 2 or 3 months or sooner if the bristles are frayed. But if you are using a hard brush, consider replacing it now. Medium and firm bristled toothbrushes may leave your teeth feeling cleaner, but they can be very abrasive and damaging over time because they are hard. You like it, you brush your teeth with a hard one, they become cleaner, wider, but at the end of the day, they will damage it over time. Most people would be perfectly fine with a soft bristled brush, and there is no need to brush too vigorously either. It's not good for your teeth or gums. Instead, scientists advise using a gentle amount of pressure, tightening the brush at a 45-degree angle against the gum line and brushing it in a short circular motion. So if you do not know how to brush your teeth or what is the method in order to brush your teeth correctly, just Google it according to your mouth, according to your type of teeth. You can select the best type of brush for yourself, the best type of toothpaste for yourself, the best type of method for brushing your teeth.
Current scientific studies have shown that the miswak actually possesses antibacterial properties. It contains natural substances such as tannins and flavonoids that work against bacteria causing dental plaque. Some studies suggest that the miswak could be even more effective against certain oral bacteria than conventional toothbrushes. In Islam, purity or tahara is considered a fundamental aspect of faith. The ablution before prayer or wudu also includes rinsing the mouth. This regular practice, performed several times daily, can help reduce the number of harmful bacteria in the mouth.
Thank you very much for staying with us with today's special with me, Ata, the host of this program. We hope you enjoyed and benefited from today's topic, which was oral hygiene and oral health from Islamic perspective and also scientific perspective. Please, for more information, visit our website our new website, iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Take care. Fi amanallah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. Deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Nawf Abdul Rabbu al-Zanin is angry with the complicity of her Arab neighbors, who have not only been silent as the Palestinians face being erased. Many of these countries support the Zionist entity in one way or another. Many others in Gaza have expressed the same sentiment. Have the Palestinians truly awakened to the reality that the majority of the Arab nations have no interest in the principles of justice or the concept of the Ummah and just care about themselves? Welcome to Women of Resistance, where on this edition, we are bringing you the story of Nawf.
There are Palestinian eyes that have seen history in the making, lips that have cried out for justice longer than most of us have been alive. These Palestinians have borne witness to some of the most powerful moments in their history, and God willing, will continue through their very existence to give voice to Palestine and her story. From the 1967 war to the current genocide, Israeli crimes have been personally witnessed by individuals who continue to share their journeys. This new phase in Palestinian history has brought the past into sharp focus. The Western-backed Israeli genocide has brought upheaval, confusion, and chaos to Nawf and her family. The additional complications of having to juggle the worries of immediate safety to remaining at the bedside of a sick daughter made the situation even more intense. The issue of a permanent displacement often comes up for Palestinians like Nouf. When you're actively being bombed, the thought of seeking shelter elsewhere is a real concern. But in the end, the ties to the land override the temporary hardships. Gaza's very topography has been altered. So have the very psyche of the people because of the unrelenting sea of difficulties brought on by the genocide. History will, rightly, not be kind to this crop of regional leaders for their lack of support for their Palestinian brothers and sisters. The strength and resilience of the Palestinian woman has been a thing of wonder, but Palestinians are exhausted. They need the violence to end. Nouf is issuing a global rallying call. Help end this genocide and save the children, the ones who bear the highest price, the injured, the hungry, those left without an education, or worse. For this Palestinian elder who should have been looking forward to her golden years, Nouf now passes time in physical discomfort, psychological torment, dedicating herself to those who rely on her mothering spirit and abilities. Israeli forces would be happy for this stalwart of Palestine to never know another moment's peace as they continue their campaign of eradication. Don't let them have their way.
Joining me in the studio today to shed further light on the plight of Palestinians is British Palestinian activist and advocate Lubna Speighton. Welcome, Sister Lubna.
Thank you, Sister Sakina.
Very difficult to hear the story of Nouf, just like, you know, we've been listening to different women in Palestine. Why is it so important, Lubna, for us to hear the story of Palestine from Palestinians like you and Nouf?
I feel for years, decades even, our voices have been silenced, and there's been widespread attempts to continue. And now we're seeing, over especially the last 2 years, the increase of state repression. And vitally, and what's been missing for far too long, are Palestinian voices. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, the attempts to silence us, again, it doesn't serve the interests of the colonizers for us to have our stories heard, for people like my father to relate the stories of the suffering that they've endured, how they've been forced from their land, how everything's been ripped from them. The mass slaughters, the several families and of our own members of our families that have been erased. And they don't want the stories of resistance there, because the one thing that they're infamous for is the dehumanizing and the demonizing of our resistance, in spite of us having that right under international law yet. Our lives, we've been dehumanized to the point that it doesn't matter. And then the aggressor can call themselves and claim they have a right to self-defense when they do not. They are the oppressors, the occupiers. Only the occupied and the oppressed have a right to claim self-defense. And they do not want our narratives to be heard. They do not want the world to understand that we are a people who have been imprisoned and are fighting quite simply for our liberation. And it's a powerful story when people are aware of the history. It's hard to gaslight, it's hard to deflect, it's hard to alter a narrative that is fixed, that everybody is aware of.
Do you feel also that, you know, just the fact that a lot of stories are told about Palestinians, but most of them are told by people who are not Palestinians, like ourselves, you know, but the fact that you bring in Palestinian women like yourself, but also Nouf, you know, saying it from the ground, does it change, you think, the perspective of what the West sees a Palestinian woman as somebody who cannot, you know, tell her story in as powerful a manner as we are hearing?
From Nouf, nothing will be more powerful than the stories from the ground, from those that live there. And as a child of the diaspora, my stories will be different. I'm not in the ground. It's so painful watching that from afar. I'd rather be on the ground with them, and it would be far less painful than to have to watch them and not be able to act. But again, we have freedoms here that they are denied of. And it's so vital that the stories from the ground are relayed to the world so that they can see and witness for themselves, as they are now, the horrors that are inflicted upon them. And we must let their voices be heard. We must raise their voices. And for those that can't speak, we have to be those voices.
Absolutely. Now, Nof talks, you know, very painfully about the lack of support from the Arab countries, you know, how they have completely disregarded the whole of the genocide. Lubna, what has been the traditional historical relationship between Palestine and its Arab neighbors?
There is an utter betrayal, and there always has been. And it doesn't serve ultimately their capitalist interests, and this is it. It's like the sanctions by America that they'd be threatened with, the power, the stranglehold. They're afraid of another uprising like the Arab Spring, if there is revolt. They're afraid of the Arab resistance. But the thing that they must be more fearful of and that they need to understand is that if they don't act now, far worse is coming for all of them. Mm-hmm. It does not stop at Palestine. What is happening to Palestine is laying out the ground for further future injustice to occur. It is paving its way.
Yeah. I mean, for someone like me who is not Arab, you know, I find it very difficult to understand the psyche, you know, of them not seeing Palestinians as one of their own. These borders are really, you know, artificial. They are ideally the same people. How do you think this works? I mean, how do you explain this psyche that they don't see it that way? They don't see Palestinians as their own.
No, and it's and even though those countries now, I mean, there are thousands, if not millions, of Palestinians who've been forced from their homes that live in those countries, but even their voices are silenced by the government of those countries. Palestinians have not only had to fight and defend themselves from the Israeli aggressors, but also the Jordanians, who wouldn't permit them. And they're afraid. They're forced into silence. The governments do not want them to rise. They do not want them to have the power of the resistance back. Mm-hmm. Previously, and again, it's all about power, strangleholds, capitalist interests, and if they think that that's going to serve their interests, they're very, very wrong, and far worse is coming to them too.
Now, we've seen, you know, on the other side, countries like Iran, Lebanon, Yemen, you know, who may not have that close a border, except for Lebanon, of course, they have been speaking with such unwavering support and material support. I mean, they've taken a hit in their own countries. If you look at what happened to Lebanon, if you look at Iran, you know, having to face their own lives, their own countries at risk because of their pure support of Palestinians. How do Palestinians themselves see the relationship with these countries like Iran and Lebanon and Yemen?
We have a lot of love and respect for those that stand by us, and they're the ones that will also know that it does ideally serve the interest of everyone to protect each other in the region, because it doesn't stop at Palestine. But the love and the protection, especially, you know, with Yemen, they've been the poorest, inflicted with such awful, grievous tragedies by the West, by America. They still stand resilient as a people. They have so much respect for Yemen and the others and the fighters in Lebanon who have stood, and it's come at a price. And they know, and Iran has obviously been attacked, and there is a test of Iran's power. It is a power play. They could have continued, and it could have been a very different outcome, which I had hoped might have been the case, but we just hope that they'll all realize that only in a unified effort will there ever be freedom and liberation for all of us, that those who don't act there, it's very grave what's coming to them.
Now, all these problems, Lubna, the whole, you know, creation of this occupation was the West, the British obviously put, you know, the occupation in place. Why is it so important for us to be in the forefront of trying to end this occupation from this very land where the problem was created?
Well, as you said, we're in the belly of the beast, you know, it began here and it should end here. We cannot be a country that talks of democracy, of liberation, of equality, when they continue with this long history of colonizing, of corruption, of killing, and the displacement of people. It's awful to think that this government will still permit it, but like we said, you know, their colonizing interests, but this must come from the ground. It's the people that have the power to stop it. The workers have the power to stop it. If the government are not going to stop it, we must.
Do you see a movement? Do you see a massive change since October 7th when it comes to people on the ground here in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, not just here, but worldwide. We've seen a worldwide movement. You know, people have become more educated since the 7th. They've realized even the mass propaganda. People are learning, they are seeing for the first time, if anything it has done, is taken this veil from people's eyes and mobilise people. I mean, people here have been marching, their basic civil liberties are now at risk, you know, when draconian measures are taking place to prevent that dialogue, to prevent non-violent resistance from taking place. And unless we ultimately keep pushing back there, then these things won't change. But we need more action, we need stronger action beyond, you know, marches and petitions and symbolic gestures. We need action on the ground.
What action is it that we can take? Because, you know, I mean, this government in particular, people had a lot of hope for the Labour government, and we've seen it worse than, you know, you could have imagined, the amount of arrests that are happening, the control of trying to control and, you know, not ensure that this movement goes ahead. But what can we do other than marching and being on the streets? Look, now, if somebody's watching and is really feeling the pain, you know, for the Palestinians, what can we do?
The economic isolation of Israel is vital, and we have many historic examples served to us, from how the Irish defended their rights to South Africa apartheid, which is really vital. The BDS movement was one of the most powerful things that we have done worldwide to support that. We need full economic sanctions, not limited to partial boycott, partial divestment, partial sanction. Everything must stop. Israel is a racist apartheid state now committing genocide. It has been endorsed for far too long. It never should have been, but we have the power to dismantle it. Is to refuse to purchase any goods. If you work in a shop, if you're in a union, mobilize them. Get them to support us so that we don't have to handle, ship, load, move any products to and from Israel. It has to be full isolation. And we must ensure that the Palestinians have the right to practice the armed struggle. Because when you look at the South African apartheid movement, it supported the armed struggle. And only in that did they manage to fight and liberate themselves with the world supporting BDS.
And of course, armed struggle, you know, international law allows that when you are an occupied, you know, entity. Armed struggle is something that is within the international law. But time is also running out, Lubna, for Palestinians. And I think, you know, it's so vital right now for the world to really come together. And all other differences can wait. But right now, you know, people are literally being erased. We heard the story of Nof and the pain of the children and the women. And I think, you know, it's really high time that this is put to an end. Thank you so much, Lubna, for being with us today. And thank you. We wrap up today's show with the beautiful sounds of Palestine by the artist Saif. Until next time, goodbye.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with veterans of the Sacred Defense and the resistance field. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on September 20th, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. Of course, I obviously do not intend to carry out this goal in this meeting. It is impossible. It is a large, extensive, comprehensive task. Nevertheless, I would like to speak about some aspects of it. We want the greatness of this event to be known. The greatness of this event can be looked at from several angles. The greatness of this event can be looked at from several angles and perspectives. One of its angles concerns what was being defended, because we are talking about a sacred defense. So, what were we defending? That's the first issue. If we look at it from this angle, an important